Blog Talk Radio.
Trying to turn it off. I turned it off. I don't know what's happening, but you're in the unknown zone.
That's what's happening.
God.
It would happen to us. It's the unknown zone. We have no idea what's going on.
It's incredible. So I'm Dave Turco. That's Judy Sellens. This is the unknown zone. And we're going to talk about the return of the black stick men, which is really, 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 really weird. It's one of the creepiest paranormal genres there is. It is sort of like the Black Eyed Kids that we did last week. If you didn't, our shows are all archived. If you didn't hear it last week, please listen to that show. It's sure to freak you out. It is spooky because these are real cases.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know what's really weird?
Go ahead.
Is that the black eyed children and these black stick men were reported around the same time in 2009.
Mm.
So they haven't been around like forever and ever and ever.
Well, hold the bus. You know, it's weird.
Yeah.
In researching for the show, I stumbled on supposedly the Native Americans of the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't call themselves Indians, obviously, but let's pretend they did. They were stick Indians.
Yeah.
In their legend, yeah. Not only Bigfoot, but they had stick Indians. Stick people, whatever, you know, stick.
Well, did you ever see when they used to draw on their teepees? A lot of those beings on there, it looked like stick beings.
Yeah, well, very much like some of those famous stick drawings that are petroglyphs that became kind of iconic,
yeah.
And everybody
made
pottery out, you know, with that symbol on it or whatever. I don't know. Those people certainly were capable of drawing three-dimensionally, and maybe they saw stick figures back then and they drew them. But supposedly, there are petroglyphs all over the world with these things, but it looks like, as opposed to something that's kind of a constant, it seems to come and go. I mean, like, go for a long time, and then all of a sudden these things appear, and I don't know, it's just one of those.
Well, maybe their interdimensional tour.
Mm-hmm.
Is only on for every so many years. And so they get their tickets and they have to wait their turn to come.
Well, I used to think that these stick figures, and by the way, what they are, this is just only a description. Nobody knows what they are. You can just go to YouTube and put in black stick men. Believe it or not, YouTube show up.
Mm-hmm.
Some are fake, but some, I don't know what it is. It looks like a dark shadow, and these are not shadow people. They're stick figures that appear two-dimensional. They're totally black, thin, stick. They look just like a stick drawing. So, you know, rather than like curvy lines, it's just straight lines, like a big sharp bend at the knee, that sort of thing. And they've been reported as between average height to extremely tall. Their heads are a black circle with no facial features that are discernible. Totally two-dimensional without any depth. I kind of question that. I think some do have a little bit of depth. Usually they've been sighted walking along roads at night or at transitional times such as twilight or before dawn. And either all of them, or they seem to be more male, and which doesn't make sense. But they seem to, people think they're male as opposed to female or kids.
Well, I
and
think that's
they often
a lot
have
of them are wearing
sort of
those stovepipe hats.
Yeah, I was going to say they have that weird top hat.
I think that's why they get that male thing, because of that.
Right. That thing I saw that I thought was an 8-foot, 9-foot tall skinny priest.
Mm.
See, it did have width, because I would have guessed, and it was. It was in the shadows. It was dark. It was after like 10:30,
mm-hmm.
which for in our town is late. We're not talking New York or Boston here.
Our sidewalks were well in the hay.
They are rolled right up. And behind a big tree, I thought it had a dog, you know, on a leash, which looked so tiny in comparison. This thing had these impossible angles to its body, just mm-hmm. like a cartoon character on TV. I was thinking more like, except super skinny. What was that one? Not Simon Bar Sinister. Was Simon Bar Sinister, I think? Was he in Dudley Do-Right? No. Don't you remember Dudley Do-Right?
I remember
Canadian?
Dudley Do-Right, but I don't remember that.
Who was the evil guy that was always getting Nell? Wasn't that Simon Bar Sinister?
Could have been.
Well, let's just say it was. Anyway, as usual, whoever, hey. Next argument, moving on, he was very similar, except that he had a black overcoat. He had a black stovepipe hat, black mustache, I think, but otherwise, you know.
Yes, he had a long handlebar mustache.
They connoted black with bad or whatever, or evil. And that's what he was. He was all black. And the rest of him was, you know, like stick figure-ish. Because it was a cheap cartoon, after all, in the early
days
of cartoons.
They always used to put the evil person in the program. They always used to dress him in, you know, the black clothes and the tall hats and all that kind of stuff. It was just something they did to that character.
Oh, wait a minute. I think it was Simon Bar Sinister was an underdog.
Underdog.
Oh, shoot.
Okay.
It was, forget Simon Bar Sinister. He had a big, fat, green head. Except the rest of them, he did have black, those skinny black legs. Shoot, it wasn't Simon Bar Sinister. I'm sorry. I have to look this up. I am so... That's not Simon Bar Sinister? Crap, Dudley.
Mm.
Do right. Well, that's what my mother always called me. Well, Davy Do Right, because I was such a nerd.
I won't go in there. I'll just leave that alone.
I was a good boy.
You were such a sweetie. Okay.
Snidely Whiplash.
Yes.
Snidely Whiplash.
Snidely Whiplash. He's the one that had the big, weird, long handlebar mustache.
Oh, jeepers. That is hilarious. So, okay. So it was Snidely. Now let me go. Well, I'll see what you look like, Snidely. Oh, come on. What a great name. But so is Simon Bar Sinister. Come on. Yeah, that's him. That's him.
Uh-huh.
Stovepipe hat. Uh-huh. Those crazy blanking legs. Oh, he's poor. He's tying Nell down to the railroad track again. Yeah. So that long, skinny handlebar mustache, you got it. Wow. He was a stick man, black stick figure.
Mm. Well, he was heavier than a stick man.
He was, unfortunately, but not the one.
He had features and everything.
Yeah, but the one I saw. Okay, the ones that have been seen, even videoed, don't seem to be quote-unquote human. The thing I saw could have been son of Stickman who mated with a human female. Because I would have said this guy was a freak of nature, but humanoid. Human, I don't know, but stick-like. Super, 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 super tall. And had that weird hat, even though I thought he was a priest because he was in front of St. Pius Church, but behind the tree.
That would be confusing anyway, because all the priests are dressed in black overcoats, black hats. Yeah.
So that's why I thought that, but I thought, I know who the priest is in that parish, and he's not, you know, 8 or 9 feet tall, not a stick figure, and not whatever this was. But again, I know I've told it before on the show, so I won't get into it. But the car in front of us, and again, one of the things is usually it's not a lot of activity around. Usually they seem to take off once noticed. They were vacant. Okay, this is little rural, well, not rural, but whatever, town, small town, Rhode Island, and nobody out. this car in front of me, which ordinarily wouldn't, I would have been alone on the road, but this car was stopped and I could see the guy partially sticking his head out. It was the warm season, so the windows were down and I could see his head turned, you know, exactly 90 degrees, stopped in the middle of the road, just turned, looking at something, not talking to anybody. Cause you know, sometimes again, in a little westerly, people stop and talk to people right in the middle of the road, pull over the car. I actually did it last
week.
Like
the grocery store, they stop and leave their with their groceries in it in the middle of the aisle.
Yeah, I can't get out of there under 2 hours. Because I know everybody.
I know. I know all the people that work in there. And you know the pharmacist by the first name, and you know everybody else that's in there.
Oh, yeah.
You check out people.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
And anyhow, so I decided to stop and look because this was, it was an odd reaction. You never see this. And there I saw this, I would have said 8 to 9 feet without being straight tall. This is 8 feet with his weird angled knees that were at this like 45 degree angle. Sharp, skinny. Also weird bends in the body. That don't seem possible. It's so weird.
Well, they do that. These beings do that, like a loping kind of stride.
Yeah.
They have completely, they call it lolloping, but it's actually, it's a loping kind of a stride that they have. They don't just walk like we do.
Right. Yeah, we would call it loping. I don't know where they get this other word from, but yeah. Right. It's not a normal gait.
Mm-mm.
There's something real weird about it. Now, this thing wasn't moving. So I didn't get to see any movement.
Taste it.
Ugh. No. You know it's weird and unnatural, and you have to move on. What's real weird is just post one of these stories, and people will write in. Now, of course, you always get people you have no idea who's online. But you can tell some of them that seem pretty legit.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there are YouTubes. You can see these sort of shadowy... They don't even seem to have full substance. And they have this weird loping. It reminds me of, I know it's too thick, but Gumby. But if Gumby were a stick figure.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, well, Gumby's kind of a stick figure.
Yeah, Gumby's sort of stick figure. But
it's
instead of being fat, flat and thick, it's that would still be like one dimension.
Mm-hmm.
It's too, one of Gumby's dimensions is too thick. His broadness is too thick. But just squish him down, and that would be it. It's like Gumby with bald, black, and skinnier.
Mm-hmm.
And that weird gait. It's just weird. But this is the thing. So I was thinking intuitively, because there's no information on this. Unlike, say, Sasquatch, which supposedly there was a sighting recently where this woman ended up getting in an accident. Because she was watching Sasquatch chase a deer in her rearview mirror. Well, she had passed it. So she knew it was there. And so she got mesmerized and got into a car accident. Anyhow, that was her excuse. And apparently is a normal person otherwise. So take that for what it is. Yeah, at least you've got things where hair samples, footprints, whatever. This thing, we've got some videos, a lot of... They could climb buildings. So my thing was, I was thinking, I mean, the outside, not going upstairs. They could walk up the side of a building. I was thinking that, and some of them that have been seen on like a trail cam, seem to not even be on the ground. They seem to be like a little bit above the ground when they're walking.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow... yeah, not much is known about these things. So I was surmising that, you know, we don't even know where we came from, for God's sakes. You know, the so-called evolution. Oh, we were amoebas. It was an amino acid soup, and then electricity hit it. Life began. Eventually, it was a one-celled animal or being. We turned into amoeba, then multi-celled, and some things turned into grass. Some things crawled around. Whatever. Or you have creation. Or maybe it's a mix of things. And I think, could things evolve from like a lower dimension into our dimension? That's what I was thinking. It's like, well, maybe it's a being that's leaving the second dimension, coming into the third dimension where we are, and is sort of having a little tryout. And they're slowly coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's weird is, it seems to be, when you really look for it, stories that are much older, and like I said at the top, in and out of history, there'll be long periods cultures don't talk about it. Like, for instance, again, getting back to the Sasquatch, whether it was the Native Americans or once the settlers, call them what you will, I'll call them settlers, pioneers got out west, without prompting, they started to see the same sort of sightings. Then with modern Americans or tourists or whatever, people have seen them.
Yeah.
And like I say, they don't describe a three-headed giraffe with polka dots. No, it's always a hairy ape-like being. You know, so I give it credence. It's been sort of consistent. It's not every day. It's not even every year, per se, in the same area. But it is consistent. These things, you go long periods of time, and many cultures don't have these stick figures. But Aborigines do. Native Americans do. Now, we do. But
you used to see a lot of stick figures on ancient wall cave drawings. They had their stick figures.
Absolutely, they and then people would think that, oh, people were primitive, so that's how they depicted somebody.
Yeah,
like that's a person.
But were they, or were they? Maybe wow. They could actually communicate with one another back
Judith,
then.
Look at that; those drawings that are what, at least 30,000 years old in France,
mm-hmm.
in the caves.
Yeah,
it's better than I could do. I mean, I'm actually fairly good at drawing.
I know a lot of adults today that still can't draw a human without making a stick figure.
Well, I got a little bit more than that going on, but have you seen any of those? And they were in these caves, deep in these underground caves, and some on their back. I mean, it would have been really, really hard. I'm talking about I could draw it on paper. Could I have etched it in rock or painted on rock?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously those weren't mistakes unless they... I don't know if there was any evidence of these people ever having to scrape off their mistakes. I mean,
yeah.
People forget that. You know, you don't see anything that's crossed off like, oh, that was a mistake. That doesn't really look like a wildebeest, so I'll cross it off.
Yep.
If you notice. So obviously the people who were artistic do this. They could draw, we look at it immediately now, okay, that was a wildebeest. That's a lion. That's a boar.
And the animals that they did draw?
Yeah.
Still look like the animals of today.
Sure. And so if they wanted to draw a human,
you can actually see the distinction between each species that they've got drawn up there. And yet still, they have stick figures of like humanoid beings.
Oh, absolutely. And then like the Native Americans, these pictographs that look like these, some have these robes on, some have these big heads with these round eyes. What are they? All people of all time were well able to depict accurately what they saw and what they wanted to do. I don't know how their society actually worked, but clearly the people that were doing it were pretty good at what they did.
Mm.
And my guess is they were the artistic people of that tribe. And that is what they did. And they drew these things. I don't know, but these things go on today. I mean, we did the show a few years ago on these stick figures. It was actually a very, very popular show because it's so odd.
Yeah.
But just wanted to see if I could pull up. Did you have any? There were these stories.
I just really have always felt that they are two interdimensional beings.
Right.
And, you know, it's just like, if we had a chance to go into maybe their dimension, we would do it. Maybe we do from time to time. Who knows? But,
sure.
Yeah, you know, if we could go into somebody else's dimension just to see what it looks like. Because then when these beings are spotted, they're shocked. They're like, whoa, I've been seen. They don't expect to be seen for some odd reason. Maybe because they're just two-dimensional figures, but they don't expect to be seen, and when they are seen, sometimes they get, you know, they'll flail their arms around, and they're like, oh, you know, and sometimes they'll run at the person, or other times they just run away from the person, but they're totally shocked when they have been spotted. And so, you know, that is something, you see this being walking, lolloping down the street, and, you know, it's almost like he's on a little tour to see what, oh, isn't this interesting, you know? And yet none of these beings have ever harmed anyone. I haven't read anything anywhere where these beings actually came out and did harm to any person.
Right.
So they don't seem to be demonic or something like that. I don't think they're even evil. I think that they are simply, you know, an interdimensional being, and in their dimension they only have to be two-dimensional. I mean, you might go to another dimension where things are like six-dimensional or something and really way out. But I think, you know, when you get into this and you study these, I found the interesting thing of these, that some of these have actually been seen as white.
Huh.
And the most part, they are black. But they do see, every once in a while, they see white ones, which I thought was really kind of weird.
Those are just albino black stick figures.
Well, it could be. Who knows? But they don't think that these things are connected up with paranormal anything. And there's even a question of them that they're not, they don't believe that they're some sort of alien beings.
No, I get no impression that they're alien beings. I agree with you. I think more and more I'm just thinking of them as interdimensionals.
Yeah.
Why they can slide in here. You know, we know so little about our world. See, this is one of my little pet peeves. As somebody who has scientific training, you end up finding out how little we actually know. We're pretty good at estimating things and guessing things, but we don't know much about reality at all. We don't. And when you think about it, we're still just trying to do everything by brute force method. You know, whenever I hear these, you know, back in the day, this is just a sidebar, when people would say, oh, you didn't see a UFO, that was the planet Venus and swamp gas or something like that, right? Once people did start to get videos, and there are a lot of pictures and a lot of videos that are authentic, let's just take that, the thing over Arizona. That was seen by thousands and thousands of people, including the governor. Governor Symington, who was a pilot, who just didn't want to scare the people, but what was it, 10 years later, came out and said, yeah, it was a UFO. It was real. It was a structured craft. It was about a mile to a mile and a half wide. We don't have anything like that. And I give you this. We still have Cape Canaveral. And how do we get a satellite up? How do we get, you know, any of these things that are up? We blast off with brute force method, basically pushing it up with a intense force.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we do it. We're not very sophisticated. We haven't overcome gravity. We can't go like when you see a UFO from stop to full flight, going off into like the outer reaches of space in 1 or 2 seconds. We can't do that. We don't have the technology to do that. We don't have any of that. We still lift off slowly with all that fire burning out of there, and with it held up by staging that falls away. It's still pretty primitive, basically. We haven't figured out much. And that's just a case in point. With people with a lot of scientific training, spending many, 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 many years, billions of dollars, the best computers in the world, and we're still blasting off that same old way. It's probably a little bit more sophisticated, but it's still a blast off. It's not like, not even the Jupiter 2 from Lost in Space, for God's sakes, let alone Star Trek. You know, or a real UFO that can do things that, you know, silently hover and then just like blink out at the at the speed of light. I mean, come on. So that's just that, let alone how do all these things work? Science has pretty much proven, hate to say prove, but clearly this third dimension where we live is not all of reality. In fact, mm-hmm. it's only a teensy-weensy part of reality. In fact, Judith, didn't we do a show when we found out the latest theory by physicists, mm-hmm. and maybe they're astrophysicists, but I'm really sure quantum physicists, that our dimension is like a thin veneer on the fourth dimension. Uh-huh. It's just like this little bit covering the fourth dimension. It's like we're a little bleed through. Just picture something that sort of bled a little bit, right? Suppose you pricked your skin and a little blood got on your skin. Mm. Well, that whole body, including the skin, is the fourth dimension. That little dried blood speck, that's the third dimension. Our entire universe, but the third dimension universe. That's all it is, compared to the fourth dimension. And then again, compared to the fifth dimension, that's what the fourth dimension is, and on it goes. There is clearly something where dimensions cross. We've done enough shows on time travel. Mm-hmm. Not so much controlled time travel. I don't know about that. I do believe it's possible. I just don't think we have the technology to do it. Montauk Point and all that, all their experiments aside, you can warp time and space, but I don't think they get control over it. On the other hand, in the Bermuda Triangle and in other places, people have absolutely experienced, and it always is accompanied by a weird light, usually like a greenish hue. It's like in an electrical storm, and there seems to be a tunnel. You go through this tunnel. You're in the same place, but in a different time. And who knows? They have no idea of knowing how far back or how far in the future they went. All they know is the island or the whatever beneath them looked exactly like it should be, but there was absolutely no humanity, no buildings, right. No modernity, nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, trees and stuff. And they're like, okay, and then go right through it. But there are genuine unknowns where people have gone missing. They could have gone through some sort of portal. They got stuck in another dimension. Maybe they're still there. There's this guy that claims, those mysterious places in like Peru and Bolivia where these remarkable stonework that they have, which is in advance of anything that we have today. And they have these doorways. Sometimes they have doorways, meaning they look like an arch, and that's all there is. Somebody built an arch, no building. Seems to be some sort of portal that some people used somehow. It's just that. Then there are these ones that have a door that doesn't open in a rock face. Huge door. I forget the name of this place, but it's in Peru. It's actually quite famous. And it even has a space notched in it. We're at, if you were kneeling down ahead of kneeling down there and place your head in it, it fits, your forehead fits right into this notch. Supposedly, people, the ancient Incans and their priests and priestesses knew some sort of incantation and could go through it. By kneeling down, bending, sticking your forehead there and doing this incantation, they would disappear and go into another dimension. Sometimes they come back, sometimes they didn't. But there's this one guy, a modern guy, who did this. And he claims to have gone into another universe. And whoever this disincarnate voice he was talking to knew about Earth, knew about all this he was talking about, and said, yeah, there are portals. We've been, investigating your universe, and we have placed portals, sort of like, what we would call stargates, just like that TV show, all throughout the universe. And you can go from point A to point B really quickly, and you can even leave our dimension, too, if you know what you're doing. And supposedly this sort of being helped the guy get back to Earth, to the modern time. Anyway, he claimed 2 days, his best recollection would be at least 2 days passed. He gets back, his wife, he goes, how long? You know, she's like, "Whoa, you disappeared. Your body started glowing and you disappeared. And then you started glowing, you appeared as a glowing thing and you pop, there you are again."
Well, look at all those people. Remember, we got
and, but I just wanted to finish that.
Disappearing.
She's, yeah.
And like that farmer, his wife saw him out working in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's standing there, wait, I guess she was going to take some water out to him or something. And as she's standing there looking at him, he just, and
yeah,
he was never seen again.
Right, exactly. And anyway, so he thought a couple of days passed. She said a couple of minutes passed. And that being in the other place, don't worry about it. Because he's like, I've been here too long. He goes, time's different here. It's different. It's all warped. Like very little time is going by. To, you know, back on in your dimension. And it just sort of reminds me of, you know, how some saints can bilocate. But, you know, in the Bible with Jesus, he basically disappeared,
mm-hmm.
you know, in right in front of them, you know, after the resurrection. There was that case where I thought it was the Archangel Michael. In retrospect, I knew it was somebody that was different, you know, as when I was still a kid, when it happened to me. But this was an open field, a large open field. Unless he was an early version of Usain Bolt, even that wouldn't have been quick enough to have disappeared. Couldn't have been.
Mm.
He was gone. Gone, just blinked out, gone.
Well,
I didn't see
the one thing that makes me really think of interdimensional is because of that static sound that's always around these black beings.
Right.
And they report, everybody has reported that there's it sounds like the air is not just static, but it's also like
right.
The air around them is charged with something.
Yeah, there's absolutely an electrical component to the whole thing.
Mm.
And this
so
is
I
how-
think that's why... You have to really think of this as interdimensional, definitely.
You know, it's entirely possible that these things could be highly intelligent, and they can be knowingly creating these portals to come here. When I've had my quote-unquote abduction experiences with the hideous grays, there is an overwhelming electric quality to it. There is a deafening buzzing that happens, blinding light. It all has to do with, with the portal opening up. But then again, it also seems to have to do with, that's how they freeze you in place so they can just take you away. I mean, it's such an awful thing to, where you can't move and you're just totally rigid. That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when some grays are coming right at you. I can't believe I've actually experienced this. Now that, I mean, I don't really talk about it too much, but, or at, really at all, but it really is one of the worst feelings of being awake. This is awake. These are eyes wide open. See, somehow your eyes can work. What muscles, you're a nurse, what muscles control your eyelids? They've got to be voluntary, right? We control whether we open or close our eyes, but why can't I?
Well, yeah, but you also blink without even thinking.
That's true. You do blink without thinking, and you can move your eyes. And I know those are ciliary muscles, if I'm not mistaken, what they're called. You can move your eyeballs, but I'm telling you, there's nothing else you can move, and it hurts, man. It hurts. You're frozen. You can't move, and oh look, there's a deafening. When I say deafening, it is so loud you couldn't possibly hear anything else. Blinding white light. And oh, look, one or two or more grays coming at you. That's what happens. Anyhow. Yeah, so there's this buzzing quality. Everything does point, Judy, like you say, to a interdimensional little creepy being coming in and visiting us.
What would you think if okay, that say that these beings, they're where they're living is very similar to what we're living in, And so they're walking along, and all of a sudden we pop into their dimension, and all of a sudden you look back and there's these things coming at you, and it's like, and they're shocked at what they're seeing. Maybe,
right.
You know, half the time we're in their dimension.
True.
And that's why we're seeing them.
Oh, I know. I've been in other dimensions. I'm sure I freaked them out.
I would imagine, you know, no matter if they come in our dimension, we'd be freaked out just as we're going to freak them out if we just pop in. And you might pop in for just a short distance, and then all of a sudden you walk back out of it again.
Right. Well, I think the sad thing is I do believe truly there have been people that never made it out. That's the fear.
Well, that's possible.
If I knew that I could always make it back, I'd be doing it all the time. Because I definitely have the tendency to do it naturally. The ones that have happened to me in my life have been spontaneous. Mm-hmm. Or it can even be initiated from the other side, for all I know. Because it's like, you know, as usual, oh, look at him. He's such an easy mark. Believe me, it's not because I'm special.
Well, it could very well be that we don't have any control of it.
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden the two bubbles come together, and the two walls of each dimension, like big balloons, they come together. We don't normally see anything out there, but because they vibrate differently than we do. So all of a sudden they vibrate at the same time, and these two bubbles bump together, and all of a sudden you're able to walk around in their dimension, even though it looks identical to where we are now.
Correct.
Maybe all the dimensions are exactly, you know, they're all
well,
the
exactly.
same, except that they might be at a different periods of time.
Well, this man, by the way, who claims to have had this experience down in Peru and went to this other quote-unquote universe, anybody can make up anything. However, he's not an unknown quality. His last name is... It's either Wills or Willis. I can't remember. You can look him up on earthfiles.com, Linda Moulton Howe's site. She does an interview with him. It's quite fascinating. And this is the thing. He is a musician and a songwriter, and his music has been up for, I don't think it made it to the final Grammy, like the final five, but right up to that level, like the level before that, however many get nominated for a Grammy. So this is a person. This is a real quantifiable person, a known quantity, a known person who's not nuts. And I don't know. I mean, like I say, for me, I had them before I ever took up yoga. I took up yoga with a vengeance starting in the 80s. So yeah, over 30 years ago. I started doing a lot of the pranayama, those breathing techniques. Let me tell you something. Those breathing techniques can start to get the old vibration going. And it either awakens something, it resonates something, whatever it does, it will get you there. I've calmed that down because it was happening to me too often, and I felt like I was losing, not my sanity, but my grip on reality. I really thought that, okay, this is one of my secret fears. There's a super great show that was on Stars called Outlander, based on a series of books. And this couple from 1946, Britain, went on holiday to Scotland, up to Inverness. And there were these people doing, I don't know if it was near Halloween or May Day or one of those days, Beltane, something like that. And these people came out, druids, I guess, and did the ceremony, and they sort of watched, and they did, there's this standing stone that they sort of electrified with their little dancing and chanting and whatever. This woman went to it, and long story short, touches it, and gets zapped. She wakes up like, oh my God, how long have I been sleeping? Let me get back to the car so I can drive back to the hotel. Well, there was no car. She's back in 1743. And people who know me, and this is the thing, because you know me, they would call me up, literally, the number of people would call me up and said, oh my God, David, you got to watch this show. This is something that would happen to you. I'm like, oh yeah, right. And when I watched it, I'm like, oh God, this is something that would happen to me. And this is truly I can't tell you the number of times it's popped into my head spontaneously. Not like a fantasy wish of mine, of ending up in another time, usually backwards. Yeah, almost always invariably backwards in time. Ending up one of my little crazy expeditions into the unknown, and I end up in another reality. Or, you know, timeline, whatever, and end up stuck hundreds of years ago. That is something that would happen to me. I mean, God, I've seen blue aliens, for God's sake. What's going back 500 years into ancient Scotland, or 300 years? Anyhow, so I wanted to give some firsthand accounts, if you don't mind, on
Black Stickies. I've got a couple of them here.
Sticky Wickies. Hopefully they're not the same ones, but they probably are.
Yeah.
This is from Speaking of England, Bristol, England. There used to be a joke. Say you're if you wanted to go hide, be incognito, go undercover, whatever, always give the alibi that you're from Bristol. Nobody's from Bristol. Anyway, some guy named Roger is from Bristol. I think Cary Grant was actually from Bristol. Okay, we were returning home. This is the guy who wrote in. From a night out, we had been drinking, but we saw what we saw. It had nothing to do with alcohol. There were five of us, but three went off in a different direction. This left me and my girlfriend. It was dark after midnight, and we passed an open area between houses. The girl exclaimed, "You know what? Look at that." See, this is kind of what happened to me. She pointed to the open space where something thin and lollopy looking was coming towards us. By the way, lolloping is the same as bobbing and walking. Like, think of this weird bobbing motion. That's lollopy.
Yeah.
Definitely human shaped, but much, much taller, very skinny, and completely black. I couldn't tell if he was wearing clothes. See, the guy I saw, I swear he wore something like, not, who was it? It was Snidely Whiplash. It was like an outer cloak, but not the legs. Or the legs were super tight black pants. Okay, I'm fairly sure that he was wearing a hat of some sort. Bang, there you go again. We started to run away as fast as we could. The man was going to catch us because of his long, skinny stride. He didn't appear to have any facial features, but suddenly he changed direction, almost as if he hadn't seen us at first and headed toward that. Almost as if he hadn't seen us at first and headed toward the houses. My girlfriend was shaking with fright, but gradually calmed down once the sick man was moving away from us. I have to admit, I was scared stiff myself. It all sounds unbelievable, as if it was a cartoon that had come to life. I think the man must have been well over 10 feet. Whatever it was, looking back, we don't think he meant us any harm. Now see, the thing I saw had to have seen me, but he was, is as though he was looking away, but only like not 100% away, just at an angle, and maybe was like hiding behind the tree pretending he wasn't there.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it, but that's what I got. But I wanted to get out of there, and it was freaky. Luckily I was in a car. Thank God the car didn't stall. That would have been right out of a movie.
Well, you know, this is the other thing. When you were talking about being freaky and you just wanted to get out of there, they talk about when people have seen these beings, that the fear that they have, even with these black stick figures, is exactly the same as the terror that they feel when they see the black-eyed children. Those two incidents are very, very similar when you see them, either or. It's an immediate feeling of fear. Even before you've seen them, you have the sense of fear, like overwhelming fear, you know, hit you. And then you look and you say, oh, my God, what is that thing, you know? And so that's why they put these two beings together at a time like 2009, when they mostly have been reporting of them, and yet there's still another one that we've got to look up for, not next week because Gary will be with us, but maybe the following week, and it's the dog-headed man. This thing's been seen these three seem to be seen around the same time together. If you're seeing the black-eyed children, you very often see the stick men. If you see those two, you very often see this dog-headed man. I don't know. Maybe they come from the same dimension. Who knows? You know, that would be the third one to check into, and let's see if they kind of join up with the facts of the other two. And see if, you know, maybe it's, you know, if it is interdimensional. I mean, look here, in this dimension, how many different kinds of people we see.
Yeah.
You know, there's all different, if you want to call them breeds of human beings. There's all different types. So it could very well be that those beings are all in one dimension, and that's why they've been reported and seen around the same time together.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Somehow, some way, these things can see us.
Yeah, that's the odd thing. You got this black figure with no features, so he has no eyes. How does he see you?
Right, because this is one, this was in the U.S. where this guy took his dog out. He lived in an apartment complex. It was a bathroom. I mean, a pool. He was going to take the dog out to do his business. Okay, so he's walking by the pool area, and he looked over and saw a tall stick figure of a man who, again, man, seemed surprised. He said, the guy said, this being looked surprised and took an odd, startled stance when he realized he had been seen.
Mm-hmm.
The human, the guy, looked at the stick man for a second, then took off running as fast as he could to come back and tell his wife. He was out of breath and visibly shaken. So we started looking up the stick figure, and that's why this person ended up commenting on this site. I wish she had mentioned how the dog had reacted.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself, because dogs, animals are very astute to paranormal anyway.
Oh, yeah, they will really freak.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
They will freak before we even are aware of something. You know, it's the same way that, like, Chris, because we have bear and coyotes and wolves and everything around here now. A dog will sense it way faster than we will. You know, they'll start to either whimper or get pins and needles or stand up with the ears are pierced because they're on high alert. And we're like, what? Because you know there's something, and then it turns out to be something like that. So it would have been interesting to see how the dog would have reacted.
Yeah. I wondered that, only because of all my connections with animals over the years and being in it was a haunted farmhouse, and their dogs always knew.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted out of that building. And they would, the one night, the one big German Shepherd's eyes turned blood red. And he stood there, and all of his hair stood up, and then he just started howling and ran out, wanted to run outside, so opened the door and let the dog out. And he kept running around the building, the house itself, and howling.
Mm-hmm.
And so they know, they sense these things. And I think if you're having problems with something going on in your house, it's just like here. And I found this interesting with these stick figures, that there's all the different sightings, especially in hospitals, suburban neighborhoods. And they even saw one that was balancing on top of a power line. And they're very common seen in forests and parking lots for some reason.
Look like, they kind of are like, what's that? Well, stick insects, those things.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a walking stick in real life?
Yeah.
I have. They're freaky. Was that
cool?
They are cool, but the one I saw was in a... Because it had to be a zoo, part of a zoo exhibit. I can't remember which city I was in, or if it was even, I think it was America. It could have been. It could have been in England. I don't know. I don't, because I went to the London Zoo over there. But anyway, in one of the places that have like reptiles and things from other parts of the world, there was this walking stick. This thing had to be a foot long, Judith.
Yeah.
That freaked me out because
it looked, really looked like a stick.
It looked just like a stick, except when it started walking, that
mm-hmm.
freaked me out. Even though I knew what it was.
See, I thought it was cool.
And everything else, I love. I love. You know, tarantulas don't freak me out. Snakes, lizards, none of that freaks me out. This thing freaked me out. I didn't like it. In 1982, there was a woman nursing student at Morley Hospital, Brentwood, Essex, England.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Brentwood, Essex, England. Okay, I was thinking of Bentwaters, but I think Brentwood, Essex is not far from there, if I'm not mistaken, because it's all in Essex. Think, could be wrong, don't quote me on that one. I encountered a stick person in the grounds of the hospital as this woman was walking home one night. It loped across the roadway, having been seemingly pressed up against a wall. Now see, that's another thing that they'll sort of like hide by sort of pressing into the shadows, pressing against a tree, pressing against a wall. It stopped when it saw the nurse, raised its arms in fright, like Gumby would, and quickly walked off into the undergrowth with that weird loping stride. It was very tall, very thin, extremely long arms and legs, very small oval head, totally black, no obvious clothing. Saw no face, even though it emerged very near a street lamp, so was well illuminated. And this poor woman was terrified and doesn't like the fact that nobody believes her. But, yeah, these things happen. There are videos, like I say, on YouTube. There are still photos. Look at images of, like, say, real black stick men, and you'll see them. It's weird. So weird. Let's see if I can find another one that's real interesting. Oh, you know, like, England is a crazy place.
I mean, you got to remember that basically, outside of Native Americans here, I mean, Europe has certainly got a lot of age on it.
They do, and I think hence, I mean, it's just different. But anyway, there's a lot over there. So this one was, these two were walking home from Greater London, there was a park with lots of trees. That's one thing I have to say about London. They have a lot of parks.
Yeah.
It's one thing I like about it there. That's usually closed at night, but was open for some reason. So we walked to the gate as it would be a shortcut to home. Yeah, I remember that. Even to where I was when I stayed there, you take these shortcuts through these little parks. So cool. It was very dark, but there was a proper path to follow with trees and bushes on either side. They hadn't been through the gate for more than a minute when one of the girls said, "Did you see that?" They had seen something that appeared to be moving ahead. The moon was out, so they thought it was just the trees blowing in the wind and reflection. But it looked like somebody was coming towards them. And so then the two started to get nervous. Whatever it was kept on coming. They could see it was a tall, thin man, but very skinny. It got taller as it got nearer, and they started feeling a little bit scared. And one of the girls said, "What the hell is it?" And the narrator here says they could only describe it as a stick man that kids draw. It was black, completely black, was wearing no clothes. Its face was blank except what appeared to be the opening of a round mouth. The other gal was freaked out, but the stick man bounced by us like a cartoon character. Its head turned slightly toward the two, but kept on walking, its long, thin arms waving about as it passed. So this thing walked right by them. These two folks started to run. They turned around, and the creature had gone. They hurried out of fear. They just wanted to get home. And they went and locked their doors once they got home. But the thing was that they could see maybe a little mouth on this creature, but You know, it also it just reminds me of like a Twilight Zone or one of those sci-fi episodes where if you can draw something, but you know, like if you were a medicine man or a witch doctor or a shaman, you could like breathe life into something. Didn't the ancient Hebrews have something to do with that? A golem? Wasn't that what a golem was? Couldn't they breathe life into, I don't know, clay and make it into a golem? And this creature would have life and they would control it. It's almost like if kids drew this stick figure and some of these damn things would come to life.
Yeah, well, you know, there's another thing. I mean, maybe being from another dimension, or maybe it's even from here. But what if they were like some sort of robotic whatevers? They're not even like alive things. Like some sort of a live being, but they're some sort of something that they could be. I mean, they could just draw. Look at the things we can make today, David. With that, what is that thing that they put all that stuff in, and they can literally take it, when they're done, they can take out of all of this dust and stuff, and it's a human skull. And they do it by, you know, looking at the dimensions of a real skull, and then they can create this right inside this machine.
Yeah.
But, my thing is are these people, are these beings, maybe, wouldn't that be weird if we've been drawing these things and they, you know, a certain thing can happen and they can come to life?
Yes.
You know, that kind of a thing, but or could they be like some sort of a cryptid thing that is, it's not really alive, but it is sort of like what we would have as anatomical figure or something like that?
Yeah,
or,
but well, yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, what is it physical? Is it, well, I mean, if one died, for instance, or got hit by a car, would there be anything to be hit by a car? Would there be an, if you tried to do an autopsy, would the knife just go through it?
I don't think there's ever been any reports of anybody seeing that, so we don't know. I mean, maybe when you run over them, they're just going to go, and they're all gone.
Yeah, but they do seem to be sentient. They do have the classic shape of a higher intelligence.
And they seem to be emotional. But that would be alive. You know what I mean? To be emotional like that, to get that upset and to get scared and all that kind of stuff that they do.
They at least have rudimentary reaction, you know, reflexes of bleh.
I don't know, but I think when we check into the third thing. And we'll do that for 2 weeks from maybe tonight. And what we'll do is let's compare all these three and see if there's something that's a connection between them, because they definitely, the three beings have been seen together. Now we kind of figured that the black-eyed children were demonic or something like that. I don't think these beings are demonic at all. I don't think they're evil, and I don't think they're dangerous. I think, you know, they're just out sightseeing or whatever. But we've got to find out about this doghead man and find out what that is. I mean, it's a strange kind of thing to be told you got to go look up. But it is part and parcel to this kind of thing, so maybe we should check into it. Who knows? But we're at the end of our hour.
Yeah.
And we're going to have Gary on next Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. So I hope everybody will call in and talk to Gary and get a free reading, and he's really cool.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yep. So we'll have a good program that day, so everybody can give us a buzz and get a reading.
Yeah, and I pray that everything works. All right.
Yes, we don't even know if we're already off.
We have no idea.
We can't hear anything. All right.
Bye, Judy.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Yep, for Judy Salazar. and all the black stick figures out there. I'm Dave Turco. Thanks for joining us this evening, and join us next Tuesday morning, 10 a.m., where Gary McHistory, who is a psychic medium, will be on with us.